Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
This is all going to look like at the end, meaning 2020, and how we'll all remember it different ways, I think, for everybody, other than the fact that it has been a nightmare in the fact that businesses have opened and closed, livelihoods have been lost, lives have been lost. Coronavirus has been with us for far too long and is still overwhelming people, patients, hospitals. Los Angeles is a nightmare where people are being treated in the gift shop and chapel of one of the hospitals, and they have to be, otherwise they might not make it. So vaccines are rolling out. More people are rolling up their sleeves, but we still don't know what the destiny is at the end of this road for far too many of us, and when that road will open up and we can go back to some sense of what it was like to live in the United States of America. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. The good news is 2020 has just a handful of days left. Then the ball will drop in New York to an empty Times Square. Very, very, very strange, but smart, because there's no way to have a safe celebration in Times Square. And while I say that, the concern is over, will we see more of a spread after Christmas celebrations? More people flew, and more cases also ramped up, 19 million plus cases. That's a huge number. Some areas are seeing it's much tamer. Others are getting the flare-ups. It's like whack-a-mole with a sick, twisted ending because of the virus. All right, the good news. You need the good news here at the top of this, and the good news is the president did sign, and I said this in the previous show on Sunday, late Sunday night, he did sign the bill that means if you are due a check or unemployment was going to expire, it's not going to expire. Plus, you get that $300 a week kick. The House voted to raise the stimulus checks to $2,000. That's what the president wanted. That was part of the sticking point for him when he announced on Twitter, shocking a lot of people on the Hill, that he wasn't going to sign the bill, the coronavirus relief bill, the stimulus bill. He wasn't going to do it. So now those who were worried can breathe a sigh of relief temporarily anyway. And that included Southwest Airlines. They did an about-face. They were going to furlough a lot of people, but didn't have to because this has gone through. Now, what the actual stimulus money will be, it looks like $600, but who knows? Maybe in the end it is $2,000. That depends on the Senate, but there's no question there is massive relief for a lot of people, a lot of gig workers, people who work for themselves, who were doing gigs. That's a big relief, I think, for many who lost those jobs, all kinds of jobs. We know, we've talked to them, and we've talked about it for a very long time on this show. While that's happening, coming out of Washington, and it's all about the transition and the president's last couple of weeks in office, the House voted to override the president's veto of the defense bill. So on one hand, oof, we need you, and you have Lindsey Graham and you have Congressman Perdue running down to play golf with the president to change his mind on signing those bills, and at the same time you have the House of Representatives deciding to override the National Defense Authorization Act, and the bill initially passed both the House and the Senate with veto-proof majorities, but with the continued opposition, it was unclear if the override attempt would be successful or if the veto would be sustained, so the vote forced Republican lawmakers to choose between loyalty to the president, who is almost out of office, and legislation that sets defense policy for the country. So Republicans, many Republicans, chose to go the way of the legislation. Democrats had confidence that they would have the votes they needed to override the veto. The bill heads to the Senate for the chamber's veto override attempt, and independent Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont said Monday that he'll delay the vote there unless Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell brings a vote on the $2,000 stimulus checks to the floor. So that could postpone a final vote on the override to Friday. Ha! Politics as usual at the tail end of the year. You're not surprised by that. Quickly, I will say this for those of you listening. The $740 billion bill includes pay raises for American soldiers, modernizations for equipment, and provisions to require more scrutiny before troops are withdrawn from Germany or Afghanistan. But so far that, you know, that's where we're at. The president had threatened to veto the bill because it didn't include a repeal of Section 230. And what is 230? A law that shields internet companies from being liable for what is posted on their websites by them or third parties. The bill also includes provisions to limit how much money the president can move around for his border wall, and another that would require the military to rename bases that were named after figures from the Confederacy. So all of that was part of that section, and the president moved to veto it earlier this month, and that set up the clash on the Hill. And then the Republicans, who were in again, off again, in again, out again, trying to figure out what they were going to do. And then there you go. It paved the way for the override on the Hill. Does that sound like gobbledygook? I think you get it. 230. That was the main deal there. And then, of course, what does it mean for the American soldiers, etc.? And then what will happen with this $2,000 stimulus checks and having the vote on the floor, and then maybe that doesn't happen till Friday the other, so we'll see. There's always maneuvering, like I said, always. All right, coming up on the show, got a couple of great people that we're going to talk to, more conversations. I love these conversations with authors and other people that we've been able to meet this year. It's been a very, very interesting, from that perspective, 2020. Stay with us. I'll meet you on the flip side.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance.
Stock market have you nervous with all the massive fluctuations? With the hope for a COVID vaccine on the rise, shifting political landscape, and the election at an end, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. With Vantage Point, you don't have to. text MONEY to 411-411 to find out how our technology can forecast market trends up to 3 days in advance with incredible accuracy. Text MONEY to 411-411 to get what you need to stay ahead of market trends and find explosive moves before they happen. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. Stop guessing. Start predicting trends 72 hours in advance. Text MONEY to 411-411 and experience Vantage Point for free. Text MONEY to 411-411 so you can protect and grow your capital now. Don't wait. Text MONEY to 411-411.
Go to VantagePointSoftware.com for terms, conditions, and privacy policy.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight, and nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. The way we work has changed immensely this year, and technology has played a critical role in helping companies and employees adapt. Heading into a new year, the workplace will continue to evolve, making technology-driven training solutions vital to preparing our workforce for the future. Here's John Jordan, head of the Academy at Bank of America. He leads the team that onboards and trains thousands of client-facing associates each year.
At Bank of America, exceptional client care is at the core of everything we do. This starts with equipping our employees with the right skills and providing training and growth opportunities that foster upward mobility and readiness for the future. With the help of tech-driven learning tools like virtual reality and client engagement simulators, we immerse our teammates in real-life scenarios and offer a more productive learning experience, ultimately empowering them to better serve our clients.
For more about Bank of America's resources, visit about.bankofamerica.com.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down. Gonna stand my ground, won't be turned around. And I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down.
Kate Delaney, Happy New Year, if you haven't heard it yet. Let's hope for the happiest happy of New Year's you can imagine as we slide into 2021. Craziness ensued on Christmas Day in Nashville. The FBI is looking at the, is eyeing a 5G attack as the possible reason why, because it was about escalating threats to 5G communications infrastructures. That's what happened with the Nashville bombing. Things were knocked out, like crazy amounts of things were knocked out. 911 calls, the disconnect was unbelievable. 63-year-old Anthony Warner from Antioch, Tennessee, is the guy who has been named as the person responsible for the bomb that was detonated. If you haven't heard the story, inside an RV in the downtown area, smack next to an AT&T building, and they're looking into whether Warner, who died in the bombing, was motivated by conspiracy theories that have focused on the 5G communication networks. And, of course, that's the latest standard. You know that, right? You keep hearing it on the commercials, et cetera, for broadband cellular networks, which is expected to increase the data transfer speeds. And AT&T is one of the companies involved in rolling it out. So it's interesting. There were some warnings of social media posts calling on people to target critical infrastructures, including cell towers, locations associated with the electric power grid, and other sites that were perceived to be impending government action against citizens during the pandemic. And we've seen this. There have been dozens of recent attacks on cell towers, especially those associated with 5G in Western Europe. Did you know that? Fewer attacks in the United States, just six, but they've been increasing for attacks. There's been calls online for attacks, attacks, attacks. This is one of the things that has been a big focus of the FBI, etc., because they're watching it. They're watching it spread, and the theory is, based on everything that they have pieced together about Anthony Warner, that this completely makes sense. That's why the RV was there. That's why the things that happened and what he knocked out happened for that reason. So there you go. You know, and speaking of somebody who is not right, I have had three conversations lately with psychologists, and we, of course, have had psychologists on the air with us, whether in Los Angeles or in New York or in Texas or other areas throughout this whole time during COVID. And what we're seeing is this uptick in people who do not have a family history of mental illness or struggles or any of that stuff, that are suddenly having some very big problems because of the isolation of COVID and the fear of COVID and so many other reasons connected to that, the being on top of each other thing with COVID and feeling trapped and etc. So around the country, there has been an uptick in people who have never experienced mental health problems who are developing severe psychotic symptoms, especially some of them that get the coronavirus because of something that sets them off once they have the virus, is what psychologists are saying. And some of the things that they're thinking in some scientific articles, doctors describe, for example, a 36-year-old nursing home employee, 36, in North Carolina, who became so paranoid she believed her three children would be kidnapped, and to save them, tried to pass them through a fast food restaurant's drive-through window. Then there was the 30-year-old construction worker in New York City who became very delusional, so delusional he imagined his cousin was going to murder him, and to protect himself, he tried to strangle his cousin in bed. Wow. And I won't go through many more of these. Just one, I saw a great article that was then put out on social media in a couple of different places, but a 55-year-old woman in England had hallucinations of monkeys and a lion and became convinced a family member had been replaced by an imposter. And so, wow, they're calling it, you know, new onset psychosis. This specifically are people that have been hospitalized with COVID-19 and what symptoms that they're comparing and that they're seeing, and it's just a small number. even though we're seeing that other people, what's happening with the isolation, et cetera, how that's wearing on them, but those that are developing COVID-19 who get it, how, you know, it's small, but it's scary. It's scary to see what's happened to them. And physically, some of them didn't get very sick from COVID-19. No respiratory problems, but they did have neurological symptoms like vertigo, headaches, diminished smell, that kind of a thing. And then it led to this profound psychosis. Wow. And what's really crazy is most of them, which is very rare for any kind of psychosis, most of them were in their 30s, 40s, and 50s. How about that? And the explanation, again, this is, it's sporadic, it's small, it's being looked into, and it's very, very sad. But this is, again, one of those cause and effects of COVID-19. And while you're seeing more people that are seeking treatment, then you're also seeing the other side of what can happen too when somebody actually gets it. Wow. All right, and as we have just a couple of minutes left here in this segment, Odds and Ends, before COVID kicked in, we were talking about the Boeing 737 MAX and the crashes and the problems and what were they going to do, and there were so many of them. But that seems like ancient history, doesn't it, because of so much focus on the pandemic. But they're set to return, the MAX jets. That's happening. That's coming up. The first major commercial test flight after being grounded after two crashes killed 346 people. On Tuesday, American Airlines will relaunch passenger flights on the Boeing 737 MAX 8. With a trip from Miami to New York, it's the first step in their plans to gradually reintroduce the 737 MAX fleet, and they're trying to get passengers to feel confident about the aircraft and about it, period, and riding in it being a passenger, since the safety regulators announced in November they had cleared the 737 MAX to fly again. They were even going to host tours of the Boeing 737 for the customers and calls with pilots in the coming weeks to erase any doubts among prospective passengers. Can you imagine? We'll let you talk to the pilots right now. So you just call up and you're on this, you're on a Zoom call of thousands or whatever, and you're listening to the pilot kind of take you through. It's safe, don't worry. And listen, they spent a fortune on this, and wouldn't you be worried when you heard some of the things that we heard and we talked about after those two crashes? So they're informing customers they're choosing to fly on the MAX aircraft before they confirm their ticket purchase, and they said they would rebook customers who don't feel comfortable about the aircraft. Woo! How about that? All right, stay with us. Author's Corner coming up.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
As millions begin to return home after traveling for the holidays, health officials fear that another coronavirus surge may soon follow. Admiral Brekkerar says high numbers of travelers don't necessarily mean another spike in coronavirus cases are coming. He tells ABC News that if people continue to use prevention methods, a surge could be avoided.
How bad it will get really depends on what people do. After Thanksgiving in the Midwest and the Northern Plains, we did not see a spike in cases, and in fact, it continued to go down. So if people do follow rules, limit travel if you can. If you're sick, please don't travel. Always wear a mask and watch your distance. And be careful. It's not really the travel, but it's mixing your bubble with a new bubble once you get there. So it's important to wear masks, physical distance, all the things we talk about. So it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to have another spike, but we're certainly at higher risk.
This is USA Radio News. A measure to raise coronavirus stimulus checks to $2,000 for most Americans will head to the Senate Tuesday, though many believe there won't be much support of it in that chamber. The House passed the bill Monday evening as a few dozen Republicans joined nearly all Democratic representatives to okay the bill that President Trump has been pushing lawmakers to pass. Senator Marsha Blackburn says this effort could have happened months ago. The Tennessee Republican tells Fox News that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had plenty of chances to bring this idea forward.
One of the things that is so frustrating about this is that you could have had a lot more money than $2,000 in the pocket of hardworking Americans if back in July or September or twice in October or in November that they had voted to increase unemployment by $300 per week.
This is USA Radio News.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
He's the founder of 10X Catalyst Groups, and he serves as the chairman for the 10X CEO and 10X Pro Groups. And you're saying to yourself, what is that? It's really actually mind-blowing what he's done, and it's a principle that I love because I believe in the power of peer groups. But he's mixed it with something very, very powerful, and that's Christianity. And what he's created is really, really quite interesting. So I'm thrilled to have him on this show. Mike, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
So let's talk about what I said, you know, loosely, the groups that you've created and 10X, and what was it that led you down this path? Because you had, what, 3 decades plus of a career in mergers, acquisitions, business development, et cetera, and you were the founder of Crosspoint Capital, which was a middle market investment banking firm, and we talk a lot about business on this show. So explain, first of all, your background and how you catapulted this into 10X.
Sure. Thanks, Kate. So I'm still a business guy, and I still do mergers and acquisitions, investment banking work. That's my other half-time job. know, the other 12 hours of the day. And so I'm a business guy, but I've been in peer groups for many, many years, mostly secular peer groups. And I found them to be really valuable, but lacking in an area that was really important to me, which was my faith and the opportunity to be able to discuss issues of business from a faith perspective. Because if you really think about it, there's nothing in life, whether it's relationships or the economy or business or finance or you name the topic, that doesn't somewhere have a spiritual root or a spiritual context. And so being in a peer group that is able to address that was something that I was really desirous of. And so a few years ago, I got involved in leading Christian peer groups for Christian CEOs and entrepreneurs. So these are business groups, but they're comprised of men and women of faith who want to use their business not just to make more money, although we certainly believe in building value and profit, but to use the business for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God.
Wow, and so powerful, because like you said, you actually merge the two. You know, again, as you made the joke about the 12 hours here, then more time here. And ultimately, we're talking about a business, and you see where we are right now with the economy. When you look in your crystal ball, and you deal with all kinds of organizations, all kinds of groups, really on both sides, what do you see with the industry sectors, energy, technology? What do you see happening here as a result of this pandemic and how we come out of this?
Well, to say we're going to experience massive disruption, I mean, we have experienced massive disruption, and it's going to continue on. Some of that is going to actually be really positive. So there are many great things that are going to come out of what is, you know, fundamentally a disastrous situation in many perspectives. But, you know, the human spirit is resilient, and Americans are resilient. And there are things that my clients are experiencing as they navigate through this that they go, gosh, you know, that was really an inefficiency, or that was actually something that we wanted to get rid of, but we didn't know how to do it before this, and now we're able to sort of clean house. Obviously, there are many things about cleaning house that are quite painful and are difficult in many areas, but I believe that out of the disruption, we're going to see changes in the supply chain. We're going to see changes in manufacturing processes. We're going to see much less in the way of business travel and in face-to-face meetings, because we found in many cases that we really don't need to do that, and that there's efficiencies that can be gained. So there are a lot of really big challenges, but out of all kinds of challenges come great advancements. As one of my mentors used to say, Jim Rohn, he used to say, don't ask why things are so hard. Ask how you can get better.
Boy, I love Jim Rohn, and I agree with that so much, and exactly what you're saying here. I think we're going to see some interesting things come out of this time. People just have to get through it and hang through and forecast, I think, for the future and look at some of the things that you're talking about. So you started off, I mean, I'm sure in a couple of different ways, but one of the things that stood out to me in your bio, which was pretty impressive, I have to say, is that you're an ex-Army Ranger captain. Well, so you understand organization. You understand pulling things together. Did you use a lot of what you learned in the military in your career?
It's amazing how Ranger School continues to play out. One of the things that is really fundamental to doing missions behind enemy lines is really extensive contingency planning. And so developing plans for when everything is going to go wrong, because it always does. You know, there's actually a famous philosopher named Murphy. You probably have run into him, and Murphy says, hey, things are going to go wrong. They're going to go wrong at the worst possible time in the worst possible way. And so you got to plan for Murphy. And so Private Murphy was a big part of our Ranger planning. And if you think about the business climate that's going on right now, part of the reason that it's painful for some people is because they really didn't plan for Murphy. And those that did actually are coming out pretty well out of this. So diversification is one of those areas. You know, I have a client who who I've been working with for a couple of years trying to get into a diversified client base, and he's heavily focused in hospitality and restaurants, and he called me in a panic after they were all shut down and said, I should have diversified, shouldn't I? Like, yep, you should have.
Right. So you did give him the great advice. He just didn't pay attention to that. Oh, no kidding, because
that's the only client. That's the only one that doesn't listen to me.
Oh.
All of the other ones are just that. They're so malleable.
Oh.
Yeah, they're CEOs, right? So.
Right. Oh, I love it. So let's talk about your book, The Avada Principle, and it's won all kinds of awards, and you've got a workbook that goes along with it. Tell us about that and what led you to writing the book.
Well, all of my clients and I wrestle with this idea of too much to do and not enough day. And so many conflicting demands on our lives. You know, we're to go out and be warriors in the marketplace. We're to be loving husbands and great fathers. And we're to be super fit and talented and involved in the community. All these things. Sometimes it gets quite kind of overwhelming. And the solution that has been promoted the most is this idea of living a balanced life. And I found that to actually be extremely flawed. I could never get in balance. And the more that I looked at it, the more I realized, you know, this is just an impossible kind of an approach. And so there's got to be something better than the idea of trying to achieve balance, because you can't achieve it. And as soon as you do achieve it, you're out of balance again. And so basically you've got the failure of chaos that moves to the failure of balance. And I said, well, what else might there be? And that concept is integration. And how do you live an integrated life? And interestingly, there's not much written on that. One of the things I found that those that wrote about it didn't actually make a good recommendation on what should be integrated. Like, if you were to have an integrated life, what would one integrate? And so I discovered an ancient word. It's one of the oldest words in American, not American, it's the oldest words in human language. It's called Avada, and it comes out of the ancient Hebrew. And one of the interesting things about the Hebrew language is that one word can mean multiple things simultaneously. And so one of the earliest words in Genesis is the word of Avad, where God tells Adam to go and work the garden. And so Avad is a word that shows up about 450 times throughout the Old Testament, and it actually means three things: work, worship, and service. And those three things are the things we're to integrate, and the process of doing that is what the Avada principle is about.
Wow, that's a big takeaway in that. And you know what? You made me think, oh, now I know where that word's come from. So, yes, of course. So, great. And you're right. There is nothing that I can think of off the top of my head, because I was thinking about that, that combines all of what you just talked about in one book. I can't think of a business book. I can't think of any kind of a Christian book that I've seen where it's combined that whatsoever. So, congratulations on that success. I'd be remiss not to ask you about your podcast. Tell us about your podcast.
Oh, this is so fun, and thank you for co-hosting with me on one recently where we interviewed the CEO of Buck Knives, BJ Buck. What an awesome guy, and it was so fun to do that with you. So with Forbes Books, with Forbes Books Radio, I've got a co-produced podcast where we're interviewing some of the top Christian CEOs in the country on issues of business and issues of faith and how they actually integrate their faith and their work. And it's just great fun. And you can find that on ForbesBooksRadio.com /10X. And there's some amazing interviews and many more coming.
All right, and it was really fun to talk to CJ Buck. Wow, what a history and what a family, for sure. So please go to that and check that podcast out. It was a thrill for me to be part of that too as well. And then 10xgroups.com, you can find out more about Michael's site there too as well. Michael, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Thanks, Kate. Sure appreciate you.
Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they share with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Joins us now. He's in our virtual green room for this edition of Author's Corner, and I think you all know how I feel about poetry. I've talked about that before, that my father wrote poetry, and it's just fascinating to me what drives people to write poetry. And in his book, he talks about growing up and reading a lot of books on everything he could find to read. So science, philosophy, politics, history, music, romance novels, comic books. Wow, that's interesting. Imagine one day you're in a romance book and the next day you're in a comic book. And like me, he's a huge movie buff. Action flicks, comedies, love stories, science fiction, and romantic comedies. So Alan, you're a well-rounded individual, I think, because you had your nose in all kinds of things, especially when you were reading, but also with movies as well. Is that part of the reason that it kind of drove you toward poetry?
Yeah, I think it was a creative thing in me. I took art in school, too, and I was like into creating things and, you know, just imagining. I guess I had a good imagination. I try to, you know, drawing pictures and thinking of just thing, you know, an imagination, and I liked creating things. And one thing that kind of drove me to this was something creative too, in a way to express myself, maybe on paper, a different way besides, you know, drawing a picture, maybe a picture of what, you know, was going on in my mind or what I was thinking.
And what was the reaction to the women in your life to the poetry that, you've written? Because you write about love.
Some of them have read them. They really liked them. And, of course, a woman, like my wife, she's like, curious, who am I writing this about? And I said, I told her, well, most of them I wrote for you, but I was scared. I didn't want to give them to you. Or I was like, you know, I don't know. I guess it was just.
That was the right answer.
Yeah. Well, most of them were. And some of them, actually, I wrote years back. I actually had just once in a while, just like, I need to write a poem and get this off of me. And just what stuff I was thinking. And I'd write it down on a piece of paper. And I ended up having, like, papers all over the place, just different places. And then when I decided to do a book, I was, like, digging around through stuff and put them all on the computer. That would took the time to just to round them up. And I probably still got some somewhere. I don't know where they're at now. But, you know, I just wrote them in a notebook and just sometimes I'd be at work and think of something and just write it down on a little, you know, stick of note or something.
Yeah. But, yeah. And so you pull them together in different ways. And then the name of the book, by the way, the poetry, is When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. So when a man loves you, what doesn't he say?
I don't think we say a lot. I think men are, you know, we're brought up to be tough and you know, we've got to be tough and strong and not show our feelings. And I'm guilty. I'm the same way. I mean, I played football and did all these sports and, you know, wrestled and baseball and, you know, try to be the tough guy, I guess, or whatever. But still, you would get the, you know, you'd meet a girl and think you're in love or something, and you don't, and maybe you're too scared to say something because you don't want to get hurt like anybody else, or maybe something, you know, happened and you got hurt. I mean, it happens.
And yeah,
I would put it on paper.
That sets you apart. Tell me that story in a second. That sets you apart because if you were expressing your feelings in poetry and you were handing them to some of these girls, some of these women, I would think that you would be very popular.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it. Sometimes I think they were put aback because most guys wouldn't do that, or they wouldn't say anything, or they would just, you know what I mean? They wouldn't express themselves.
Yeah. Good for you for doing that. So tell me your story. Tell me a story about somebody that you gave one of your poems to.
Well, I think there was one that, gosh, it was someone I met when I was working at JCPenney, and I thought she was beautiful. She kept coming in, and she talked to me. I think we went out one time, and I wrote a poem and gave it to her. And then, I don't know, I think it may sound crazy, but I think it scared her away because she quit coming around. Like, she probably didn't know what to think. Like, what is this guy thinking? Or, I don't know, it's something different. I don't guess every guy does that.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys don't do that. But good for you, because I think what you're describing, you did take a risk by doing that. But good for you, because that was a way for you to express yourself. We're speaking with Alan Annis, and his book is When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. Do you have a favorite poem that you've ever written?
Well, I was looking through this first book. I put it together on my own, self-published it. And as I was going through them, because, you said something about find my favorite one. I really picked out about five or six I really thought were good. But then I got to the last one. I said, you know what? This is it. This is it sums up the whole book.
Yeah, there you go. What is it?
I will share it. The title is It's Stuck in Me. I got so much I want to say, I just can't get it out. It's coming from my heart, and it wants to shout. Sometimes when we're together, it's stuck in me. I want to tell you how I feel. It won't break free. Right now, I struggle to describe how I feel now. I just know you got deep in my heart somehow. So, dear lady, remember in those quiet times here, those words I want to say are stuck in me, dear. I know the words are simple to say, I love you, but when it runs so deep, the feeling's true. It's coming from my heart and it wants to shout. Got so much I want to say, I just can't get it out.
Wow. Bravo. Well done. It's stuck in me. That's such a good name for a poem. And you know what's interesting, Alan, too, that you've had these different careers where, and you mentioned it, as a kid working in retail sales, transportation, manufacturing, and utility work. You and I have talked about that off the air, some of the crazy things that are happening across America and what we're seeing. And do you think that also adds to your experience because you've done a lot of different things?
Yeah, I'm pretty diversified. I've never been afraid to try anything as far as work-wise or, you know, I've done different things. I mean, when I was younger, I had friends in a band. I ran sound for the band. I was the sound guy for them, and they weren't like a big-name band, but it was fun, and it was something creative, and people would ask me, hey, you want to do this? Sure, I'll help you. I always try to help people, and if they needed help, and I just keep busy, and then you go through your life, things happen, you meet somebody, and I've got, you know, three kids. To be honest, this was hard for me to do, to put this out here, because I knew I'd probably get reactions from different people, and then my mom's like, I didn't know you did that, because I didn't tell nobody. I would just do it and write these down, and matter of fact, I'm working on a second book. I'm trying to get it out by early next year, maybe the end of December, because I have more that I wrote that I didn't put in the first one, and just the goal. I just started thinking, well, maybe if people, I got a good response from people that's bought it, and also family. They're like, oh wow, do this. You know, my mom really got excited. She goes, wanted me. She said, well, you need to do it again. This is awesome. But it's something to do. I just thought there's probably more people like me out there that got things on their mind and they don't want to say it. They're worried about what someone's going to think, or like I said, it's stuck in you. You can't get it out.
I like it. That's why I'm so happy that was your favorite, because it's true. It's stuck in you, so you found a way to express yourself. And this is something that I think a lot of guys listening could, you know, if you could do the same thing that Alan's done, man, you could really open yourself up, I think. So, again, it's When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. You can get that on Amazon. Alan, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate being on your program.
Of course, and we can't wait to see what happens next for you. And thanks to everybody out there for listening to this version of the show.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.